This morning's scripture reading will come from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, being reconciled to God.
I admit, I'm still thinking about Chris passing out. Had good words at the table. Thank you this morning. All right, we're continuing on with our series on being ambassadors for Christ. This morning I want to talk about dealing with the difficult. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Let's go 2 Corinthians 5:14, 16 and following. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one by the flesh, even though we have known Christ by the flesh. Yet now we know Him in this way, no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their wrongdoings against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. You know, we've been given a job to do. And I want to refer back to an event in history for a moment. Back in 1975, I was 12 years old then, just for reference, 100 years ago, We saw the event where the North Vietnamese finally took Saigon in the South. And I was on an elevator one day, and somebody kept sticking their arm out to keep the elevator's doors open as people would get on. They were just trying to be polite. Some guy in the elevator goes, "It's not the last helicopter out of Saigon." You know, he was ready to go where he wanted to go, right? Well, there's some things to that story that are important to know. You know, our ambassador at the time, Graham Martin, he worked to have 7,000 people evacuated from Saigon by airlift of helicopter. And he didn't leave until he was ordered out. I'm sure being the ambassador to South Vietnam with the North Vietnamese breathing down your neck as they are coming and taking over the city was not an easy job to do. But he had a job to do, and he did it. Now, I want to understand that ambassadors don't always have it easy. You know, we kind of think of ambassadors as making deals on the golf course or always attending parties. No, they go and they work in areas of the world that are difficult to represent American interests. But we as ambassadors don't always have it easy. We don't always have an easy job. And as we've read in 2 Corinthians 5, God has given us a job. He calls us a new creation. He says that we're reconciled to God through Christ. And then He says that we're a people with a mission. What is our mission? To reconcile others back to God. We are committed to the word of reconciliation. That's something that when we came out of the waters and rose to walk in newness of life, we took on the job of helping others to find that same reconciliation. So now we are ambassadors, and God is making an appeal through us to other people. We got a job to do. We don't just get to sit back and say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm good. You figure it out yourself. Yes, there is that passage that says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You're not going to be able to work it out unless somebody tells you what the gospel is. So we got a job to do. And it's not always easy. You know, there are times when we read in the scriptures where it wasn't easy to be a preacher of the gospel, a minister of the reconciliation of the word, a new creation that is about this mission. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, now when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened for me in the Lord, I had no rest for my spirit, not finding Titus my brother, but saying goodbye to them, I went on to Macedonia. You know, Paul's got this opportunity to go to Macedonia and preach the gospel. The door has finally been opened to him where it was closed before. And he goes and he can't find his brother in Christ. He can't find someone that he wanted to take with him to do the work. So he leaves and he goes on and he does the work anyway. Sometimes we say, well, you know, it's just too hard to be an ambassador for Christ. It's too hard to be someone who tells others about Christ. It's too hard. If only I had more helpers. I don't know about you, but I've watched lots of movies where one guy changed the world. One gal changed the world. They went out and they did what needed to be done. You know, in my younger days, I used to like to watch a lot of those adventure shoot 'em up movies. I'm not so much into those anymore. I'm getting old, Chris. Or I'm afraid I'm going to pass out one of the two. Anyway, I don't watch those anymore, okay? The Sylvester Stallone movies where you know, he's going out in, First Blood and those movies. I don't watch those much anymore. But I do know one thing. There was a guy who went out without help and did what he needed to do. Are we any less brave? Are we afraid to go out and do what needs to be done? Are we afraid to call up a brother or sister in Christ and say, come with me? There's someone I want to talk to about Christ. So, lack of helpers is not an excuse. He goes on to say in chapter 2 Corinthians 2:14 and following, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us reveals the fragrance of the knowledge of Him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. If we act right, if we do what the scriptures tell us to do, if the situation isn't ripe, guess what? We're still an aroma. We're an aroma to those who are being saved and an aroma to those who are perishing. The one an aroma from death to death, the other an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? Are we adequate for these things? For we are not like the many peddling the word of God, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. Brothers and sisters, as Christians, we're worthy to go speak the word in Christ. We're worthy to do it from sincerity because these are the things that we believe. These are the things that we hold on to. These are the things that we look forward to. As I get older, I look forward to heaven more. I look forward to the days where my shoulder doesn't bother me or my neck doesn't bother me or I'm not thirsty every 10 minutes because of my diabetes. yes, those physical things. But I look forward more and more and more, not because of that stuff, but because God is there. I look forward more and more and more because that's paradise. I look forward more and more and more because we can go worship God there. We can be in a place where gold is street pavement. We can be in a place that we have all the help we need. But we got to demonstrate it here. We got to do our job here, whether we have enough helpers or not. The size of our congregation doesn't determine how good of an ambassador we are. We got to be faithful in what we do. Secondly, finances. You know, it's kind of referred to at the end of 2 Corinthians where he says he doesn't peddle the word. But it's more succinct in 1 Corinthians 9:14. So also the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. But I have used none of these things. And I have not written these things so that it will be done so in my case. For it would be better for me to die than that. No one shall make my boast an empty one. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast about. For I am under compulsion. For woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a commission nonetheless. What then is my reward? That when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel without charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. He had the right to be paid. You know, ministers work. Good ministers work a lot. They prepare messages. They go visit. They try to encourage others. They go chase down people who have needs spiritually. They counsel. On and on and on and on. I once talked to somebody who thought the church didn't need ministers. And I'm like, no, you're wrong. We need people to preach the gospel. Our congregations these days are facing difficulties. Smaller congregations not able to be able to afford a minister. We've got a unique setup here, I think, that's working for us. But we want a minister. That's what the direction we want to go in. But lack of finances does not stop us from being able to preach the gospel. Lack of finances doesn't say, well, if we don't have a preacher, we can't preach the gospel. No, you and I each have a responsibility to preach the gospel. We are ministers. And we have a responsibility to talk to our friends, our family, our neighbor, people we interact with every day. Are you asking God to open up your eyes to the opportunities that are in front of you? Finances is not an excuse. Thirdly, lack of strength. 2 Corinthians 12 again, verse 7 and following. Because of the extraordinary greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in distresses, in persecutions, in difficulties, in behalf of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, I don't know if this thorn in the flesh was a health issue. Most people kind of seem to think it might have been. I'll avoid the weak joke that it was his wife. That's lame. Could have been his mother-in-law. I don't know. No, whatever the weakness was, it was to keep him humble. But he used that weakness. He used that weakness to show that God is more powerful. And he continued to persevere. Do we have weaknesses? Absolutely. Every single one of us has some kind of weakness. I think of Moses when he's being sent to Pharaoh to free the Israelites, and he's pleading before God, "Oh, don't send me. I don't speak very good. I don't do this." Excuse after excuse. God didn't let him off the hook. God gave him a way to overcome all those things. Do you think God will give us a way to overcome our weaknesses? Can you turn your weakness into a strength? Can you use that to be the best ambassador that you can be? We may wonder, or we may even whine, that we don't have what we need to be good ambassadors. Well, God, if you would just give me what I need, ain't it? Scripture says he's given us everything that we need pertaining to life. If you're not getting everything you need to get in the Scriptures more. You need to get around your brothers and sisters more. You need to understand God more, because he gives us what we need. We need to persevere more and more and more. You know, it's easy to be a Christian under ideal circumstances. Acts chapter 2, 42. Man, that would have been an amazing time to be a member of the church. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles, and all the believers were together and had all things in common, and they would sell their property and possessions and share them with all, to the extent that anyone had need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Man, what a tremendous time to be a Christian. Doesn't that sound like a great time? Doesn't it sound like the church grew so much because there was so much peace and harmony and oneness? That's amazing. But things didn't stay that way. And still God used it to his purposes. By Acts chapter 4, verse 1, Peter and John were arrested for preaching Christ. By Acts chapter 5, verse 17, they were jailed again for what? Preaching Christ. In Acts chapter 6, there was a dispute regarding the benevolence to the Hellenistic widows. It was resolved and allowed Christ to be preached. In Acts chapter 6, verse 7, those who were against Christ were so frustrated, they brought false witness against Stephen because he preached Christ and did great wonders among them. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen gave his defense, and they didn't like his defense, and they stoned him. By Acts chapter 8, Saul began his persecution of the church. Good times, huh? Well, can't be an ambassador anymore. It's just too tough. Yet, there were Christians who were stoned to death, who were being persecuted. And by Acts 8, 4, therefore, those who had been scattered went through places preaching the word. God used this horrible sin against his people to expand the kingdom. They went everywhere preaching the word. This is why I was persecuted, for Jesus Christ and him crucified. Do you want to understand the peace that I have because of this? As ambassadors, we have a job to do, especially when times are difficult. We have many examples in Scripture of people who stood up for Christ under difficult circumstances. We've talked about Paul's weakness. If you go back to the Old Testament, we look at Joseph and the trials that he went through, being sold into slavery, being accused falsely of sexual sin, being thrown into prison, eventually rising up to be second in charge of all Egypt. We've got Job's distresses. If anybody in Scripture endured more than Job, I don't know who it is. Yet, he praises God. We've got Daniel's challenges. A young man who's ripped away from his home country and taken captivity and put before a king and his advisors, who stands up for Christ, who stands up for God in those situations, not turning away from those things that he's been taught. Elijah and the prophets of Baal. I would have loved to have seen that. If anybody invents a time machine, I want to go back and see that. The fire that comes down from heaven. Amazing. Elijah versus Jezebel and Ahab. Moses and the Pharaoh. Jesus and the Pharisees. You think it was tough to stand up against the preeminent religious leaders of your people? I think it was tough. How about Jesus and Judas? A man who would betray him. Jesus and Satan's temptations. Do you think that Jesus had a difficult time being an ambassador? He had challenge after challenge after challenge. Yet he sets an example for us. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 and following. I solemnly exhort you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But as for you, use self-restraint in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And in the future, there is reserved for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only me, but also to those who loved his appearing. We're told, and these are instructions to Timothy as a young minister, but if we're ministers of Christ, I think we can extrapolate that these are things that we need to do as well. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, and those in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. If we want to be ambassadors for Christ, we need to take a new view of what our job is. We need to die to Christ every day. And we need to not lose heart. You're doing a worthy work. You're doing something that is so important. You're saving soul after soul after soul. You know, that ambassador was criticized because he didn't start the evacuations earlier. I don't want to be criticized that I didn't start the evacuations earlier. I want us to go out there and do the job of an evangelist, speaking the word and making sure that we're appropriate ambassadors for Christ. This morning, if your witness has been not as strong as it should be, or if you need to put on Christ, denying yourself and following him, being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, either way, we would love to help you. Please come while we stand and sing.